Welcome back to our next chapter of Christology. As in the very first chapter, we dealt with Christ, the introduction of Christ, Christology. And to the second, we dealt with the life of Christ. And now, the third chapter that we are going to deal with in Christology is Work of Christ. Work of Christ. The work of Jesus Christ is usually characterized by the atonement that he had obtained for the elect. The nature of the atonement is one of the penal substitutionary death. Paul writes, the wage of sin is death. Romans chapter 6 verse 23. But instead of requiring our own death, God sent Jesus Christ to pay for our sins by bearing our guilt and dying on the cross in our stead. One question regarding the atonement is whether the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ was necessary to redeem sinners. Two significant answers to these questions are hypothetical necessity and consequent absolute necessary views of atonement. John Murray explains these two views as follows. The view known as that of hypothetical necessity maintains that God could have forgiven sin and saved his elect without atonement or satisfaction. Other means were open to God, to whom all things are possible. But the way of the vicarious sacrifice of the Son of God was the way which God in his grace and sovereign wisdom chose, because this is the way in which the greatest number of advantage conquer and the way in which grace is more marvelously exhibited. The other view we call consequent absolute necessity. The word consequent in this designation points to the fact that God's will or decree to save any is of free and sovereign grace. To save lost men was not of absolute necessity, but of the sovereign good pleasure of God. The terms absolute necessity, however, indicates that God, having elected some of everlasting life out of his mere good pleasure, was under the necessity of accomplishing this purpose through the sacrifice of his own Son, a necessity arising from the perfection of his own nature. If only these two options are available, consequent absolute necessity would be the preferable one. The atonement was not necessary in the sense that God did not have to save anyone at all. Peter writes, God did not spare angels when they sinned, but sent them to hell. 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 4. Just as it was not necessary for a loving God to save the angels from sin, neither was he required by his own nature or anything external to himself to save man. Nevertheless, because of his love for the elect, God sent Jesus Christ to save sinners, even though he was not required to do so. Although it was not necessary for God to save sinners, once the decision was made, the death of Jesus Christ became necessary to pay the price of man's sin. In reference to his death, Jesus prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." That is Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. He asked that if it is somehow possible to get the effects intended by the atonement be accomplished and the way, while insisting that whatever was God's will to be done. After praying this way, an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Luke chapter 22 verse 43. The Father's will was for Jesus to go through with the work of atonement, thus implying that the death of Christ was inevitable in order to achieve the intended results. After his resurrection, Jesus said to his disciples, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter his glory?" Luke chapter 24, verse 26, implying that it was indeed the only way. We may press further to inquire as to why the death of Christ was the only way. If there were no atonement, everyone would have to die for his own sins. John chapter 8 verse 24. And the Bible indicates that the punishment would be torturous and endless. One can be free from receiving just punishment only if another were to die in his place. But one sinful human being cannot die to redeem another, since any sinner who suffers the wrath of God will only be doing so because of his own sins. Just atonement requires a perfect and innocent offering. Although God had instituted the practice of animal sacrifice under the old covenant, it was only to anticipate the atoning death of Christ, seeing that it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 4. Therefore, Christ was the only acceptable and sufficient sacrifice. Consequent absolute necessity is the classic Protestant position. But there is a better answer to the question of necessity of atonement. From the perspective of supraparasnism, the degree to redeem the elect is logically prior to the degree of fall man. Supralapsarianism, that is something very essential. The degree of the fall of man. Number first, the election of some sinners to salvation in Christ. The reprobation of the rest of sinful mankind. Second, the application of the redemptive work of Christ to elect sinners. Number three, the redemption of the elect sinners by the work of Christ. Number four, the fall of man. Number five, the creation of world and man. The redemptive work of Christ was not a reaction to the sin of man. Rather, God decreed the fall of man so that the atonement could occur. Christ was chosen before the creation of the world. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, to be the Lamb of God. Paul writes that eternal life was promised before the beginning of time to God's elect. Titus chapter 1 verse 1 and 2. And then God chose those whom he would redeem before the creation of the world. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4. God determined the identity of the elect, chose to redeem them, the selected Christ as the redeemer before the creation of the world. Since God is eternal or timeless, it means that the possibility never existed that God would not redeem his elect through the substitutionary death of Christ. In fact, the plan of redemption was logically certainly even before God decreed the fall of man. Therefore, given the supralapsarian order of eternal decrees, the substitutionary atonement of Christ was absolute necessity. Although many people tend to associate the redemptive work of Christ only with his death and resurrection, it is impossible to ignore the other events of his life when discussing redemption. The action that Christ performed to save his elect from sin were not limited to the events after his arrest, but include those what were before it. We would consider this entire life as one whose purpose was to redeem those whom God has given to him. For example, even his very act of taking on human attributes to become like us and identified with us in a part of his redemptive work. Therefore, some theologians distinguish between the active obedience and passive obedience of Christ on our behalf. Both of these terms suggest that he came to succeed at point where Adam had failed. namely to live in perfect obedience towards God. Paul writes, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Philippians chapter 2 verse 8. These two terms designate the two aspects of obedience through which Christ paid for the sin of the elect and achieved for them perfect righteousness. Christ's active obedience refers to his perfect adherence to the laws of God on our behalf. He completely satisfied the moral demands of God, who in turn credits such righteousness to those who would believe in Christ. Romans chapter 5 verse 19 says, for just as through the disobedience of one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man the many will be made righteous. Many people tend to neglect this aspect of Christ's redemptive work, but it is necessary part of what he had done for the elect. To hold that Christ only needed to die for the sins of the elect to redeem them fails to explain why he did so many other things, such as obeying the laws of God, enduring severe temptations, performing numerous good works and acts of mercy, the living uniquely righteous life. The truth is that besides saving us from sin, Christ also merited a positive righteousness on our behalf. This helps explain why only a short period of time in the life of Jesus consists of active public ministry. While before that he lived in relative obscurity, before his public ministry, he was not only preparing for his preaching work and waiting for the right timing. The redemption of elect depends not only on his final years or days, but also on the obedience and righteousness that he demonstrated throughout his life as a federal head of the elect. Through what he had done before his ministry, during his ministry, and in his death and resurrection, Jesus secured a perfect righteousness to be credited to those who would believe on him. Christ's passive obedience refers to his suffering the penalty of the sins of the elect. Sins demand punishment, and just penalty of defense against God is endless torment in hell. Since the punishment is endless, there is no escape or restoration for those who would come under the wrath of God. Someone else will have to die in place of the sinners for the sinners to go free and for God's justice to be satisfied at the same time. However, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 verse 23. And so, no human being qualifies to die for the sins of another, since each one is himself guilty of sin and would be receiving just punishment only for his own sins if he were to suffer under the wrath of God. The only solution is for a sinless human being to die for another, and so to truly suffer the penalty of sin that he does not himself deserve. This is what Jesus has done for the elect. God made him who had no sins to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteous of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. Although Jesus was without sin, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 15, he suffered as a sinner as God sovereignly imputed the guilty of elect upon him. Thus, those whom he acted as a federal head, namely the elect, would receive his perfect righteousness also by imputation. So this the same subject we will be covering it in the next part. So as I end up this part with the work of Christ is very much essential, including to redeem the mankind from the sinful nature. See you in the next class. Thank you. Bye-bye.